Welcome to a special Sentinel Record podcast interview to set the stage for Saturday SpaCon comic book convention down at the Convention Center. I'm Sentinel Record reporter Krishnan Collins, and I spoke with SpaCon's headlining guest, Roger Bumpus. Bumpus is the voice of the iconic SpongeBob SquarePants character, Squidward Tentacles. Not only is Bumpus the voice of Squidward, but Bumpus is a native Arkansan and a graduate of Arkansas State University before he headed off to the big city to pursue his career in acting. We talked about his life in Arkansas, his career, and what he looks forward to at SpaCon here in Hot Springs. I'm a North Little Rock native myself, so I just wanted to see, you know, growing up in Little Rock, did you always have a passion for acting? And how did you kind of explore that world of acting while attending Central and living in Little Rock?
Yeah, I guess looking back, though, I was always kind of a performer, cutting up and stuff like that. It, whenever I get laughs and attention, that was all pleasant, so it kind of conditioned me to pursue that. But I didn't pursue acting initially. I studied radio and TV at Arkansas State, and then got more interested in acting. And I had friends that had gone on to New York and encouraged me to try to pursue that. So it all kind of fell into place, and I left Arkansas and went to the big city, and that's where actually I was able to get a start. But Central was very good too, because we had plays, and I did comedy shows there with Randy Hankins, Craig O'Neill, and so that helped me, get the idea that comedy is a way to go, and it's just something that gets ingrained in you after a while, and it's, you focus, you translate everything in the world to what, how can this be funny, you know? And it's a wonder, and it keeps me alive, keeps me young. So it was just the way things worked.
Yeah, and I actually just graduated from Arkansas State in the spring, so I kind of wanted to touch on that. You know, you were a radio TV major with a minor in theater. Just what made you choose that major, and how'd that time at A-State kind of influence your career?
Well, like I said, there were three different classmates there. That one was very, very good in acting. The other two were in the technical realm, and they all went to New York City and came back and told me, it's possible. I can do it. So I took that cue and went. But as I did many plays at Arkansas State, and we did the competition, the college competition, and we won in Arkansas, and then went to Fort Worth and came in second place. And so one day the director brought me into his office and was gonna congratulate us on our endeavor in the competition. And he said this one sentence. He said, "I look forward to seeing you in professional theater." And up to that point, nobody, especially in Arkansas, it's not professional actors realm. Nobody really encouraged me except for those classmates and that one director. And it's amazing how one sentence can change people's lives. Sometimes I tell young people that too. That it's you can really influence somebody just by giving them some little bit of encouragement, and you can change their lives.
Yeah, and just keeping the Arkansas spin on it, I know you worked at KAIT in Jonesboro for a little bit. Just what was that like for you, and, you know, did that have any influence in you, changing your career to theater?
Well, it didn't have an influence in that, but the owner saw that I was always joking around and stuff, and so he gave me a late-night comedy show that I called Mid-Century Nonsense Festival featuring Kumquat Theater. And I did little things that I could do there, and then got more interested in the comedy writing sort of thing. And it gave me great experience because KAIT at the time was a non-union place, so I got to do a lot of different jobs, from film processing to floor directing to announcing and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great experience in the broadcast field. But about that time, my colleagues went to New York and influenced me to go there. Another interesting thing, though, about KAIT, several years ago, I was traveling to New Zealand, and a person with my name in Nova Scotia died. And the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, which is kind of a Bible for actors' resumes and stuff, they picked that up and reported me, the actor, having died. And the guy that picked me up in New Zealand heard about that, so he called the airline and said, is he on the airplane? And they said yes. And when I got there, he told me the story. And I said, did you think to ask the airline, was I in the cabin or the cargo hold? and then, as funny as that was, weird as that was, 2 months later, another person with my name in San Diego, which is much more believable, died. And KAIT picked that news story up, so-called news story, and did on their evening newscast my obituary.
Wow. Wow.
And I called them and had another surreal conversation about, isn't it rather apparent that I'm talking to you that I'm not dead? So they ran a retraction rather sheepishly and embarrassed, you know, and they sent me both the videos of those newscasts, and it's quite surreal to see what people will actually say about you when they really do think you're dead.
Yeah, and, you know, when you left Arkansas, what were some of the biggest challenges for you, you know, heading to the big city after living in Arkansas your whole life?
Well, that was the challenge, going from the environment of the Little Rock and how big that is to this metropolis that's massive and has its own life that just picks you up and takes you with it. But then I was ready for anything, and it was a good thing that I was, because New York was a cesspool in 1977. I'm glad I didn't see a Taxi Driver before I went. And so, you know, you're ready for anything, so you put up with anything. You know, nowadays I wouldn't, I've been around enough to know that I'm not gonna do that again, especially the way the city is now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a major culture shock. In fact, I went in the summer of 77 and I came back for Christmas, and my dad commented to my mom that my countenance had changed. it teaches you. I always said that there should be a federal law that when you hit 21, you have to move to Manhattan and work and live for a year, because it teaches you just so much.
Yeah, and looking ahead to SpaCon here in Hot Springs, I know as the voice of Squidward, you've done your fair share of comic conventions, but just what does it mean to you to come to your home state of Arkansas to do a convention?
Oh, it's wonderful. A couple of years ago, I did one in Little Rock, which was just absolutely great. It's kind of a silly version of Local Boy Makes Good kind of thing, you know, and just several friends came by, and I don't know if they'll have friends coming by in Hot Springs, but I'm very familiar with Hot Springs, so it's one of those vacation places my family always went to, and I was just back there a couple of years ago anyway. So it's anytime I can do something locally, I jump at it. It's just, you know, and it gives me a chance to visit my my stomping grounds in Little Rock.
Yeah, and just in general, you know, what is it like for you meeting fans at a convention and making, you know, that face-to-face connection?
It's wonderful. It is the dessert for our work, because unlike stage, we don't have audiences when we work. And if you have a successful show or a show that is liked by people, you get to meet them. In our particular case, because we've been out for 22 years now, young adults grew up with us, and they constantly come to our tables and thank us for their childhoods. And even their parents will say, this is one of the few shows, kids' shows, that I would watch with my kids and actually enjoy it. So to be a part of that legacy is something wonderfully gratifying, and I'm very, very thankful that I've been given the opportunity to be a part of something like this, because what they say to us, I would have said to Mel Blanc because of Looney Tunes when I was growing up. He chaperoned me and my generation through childhood, and we're doing that for somebody else. So, and we're multi-generations now. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a part of.
Yeah, and you know, Squidward is a role you've voiced for a long time. Just what are some of the biggest challenges of voicing the same character for so long?
Well, actually, you know, it's not a challenge, because as we go along, they give me different things and different circumstances and different situations. And so you're constantly spreading your wings, learning new things this guy could do. When we first started out, a lot of our characters were kind of monotone. Squidward was just blah, 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 and then they gave me other things. They learned I could scream, and they gave me these sarcastic little comments of observation to the insanity around me. And so putting me in different situations enabled me to utilize a lot of different acting melodies, so to speak. And so it's really isn't a challenge. Sometimes, though, because they do have you scream an awful lot, sometimes, though, it does wear down a little bit on certain types of screams, which is very therapeutic, by the way. I've saved a lot of psychiatry fees on my screaming.
And I've seen some of your quotes about the difficulty of voice acting. You know, on screen, you're able to show your emotions through your face and body. But how difficult is it really just to portray those multiple emotions just using your voice?
Oh, well, yeah, you have to think about this. Voice acting is not only acting with one hand tied behind your back, it's two legs tied behind your back on a sack over your head. All you have is the voice. So everything has to be funneled into that. So it's you know, people think, well, it's just voice acting. Well, no, it's concentrating every single thing. No costumes, no makeup, no props, no gestures, no nothing. It's all the voice. So it's in a very real way, it's the most difficult acting.
Yeah, and I know you have a giant collection of SpongeBob memorabilia. What made you start collecting, and do you have a favorite piece in your collection?
When we first started, the first thing that came out was an action figure that had my voice on it, and I had never had one of those, and I thought, oh man, this is so great. And then I saw that you would walk through a Target, and it wouldn't be in just the toys thing. It would be in the greeting cards, in the bathroom section, in the auto section. Every section had something to do with SpongeBob. So I said, you know, I like collecting things. I think I'll collect all the merchandise, or as much as I could. And so it began, and it's still going on right now. I do, and my most interesting item, I think, is my toilet training kit.
Wow.
And I just about mastered it.
Yeah.
but yeah, you got just all kinds of things. I mean, there's whole sections of lunchboxes and candies and foods and toothpaste stuff, and just all kinds of stuff. I need more room. But I am submitting it to Guinness. I do believe I have the world's largest collection.
Wow. All right, and I just got two more questions for you here. Obviously, many people know you as Squidward, but are there any roles or you know, a singular role that really stood out to you as something else you really enjoyed that maybe people don't know as much about?
Well, a lot of people do know about this. They just didn't know that I did the voice. There's a Nickelodeon show that was on just for a short time called Invader Zim. And we had a special that they did a year or so ago, and I played the main character's father, who was a kind of a mad scientist kind of guy, Professor Membrane. And it turned into a cult. In fact, it had its own Comic-Con, Invader Con, that was just those fans. So to be a part of that that fan fanatic kind of quality was pretty interesting. And also, someone just contacted me today, several years ago, there was a show called Toxic Avengers. Toxic Crusaders, I believe, was our show, a cartoon, and I did both Toxie and the villain, Dr. Killamoff. So, there's several years ago also, Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? I was the chief in that one. So I've been doing it for 50 years, so there's a lot of the stuff I've been doing, but those are the three that kind of come to my mind when I think anything other than Squidward.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, the last question here, what do you like the most about playing Squidward?
It is the range, the diversity. I get to go from sarcastic commentary on the insanity around me to absolute apoplexy. And I get to scream a lot, and everything in between. And he's oftentimes just getting the crap beat out of him for some reason. He always is on the wrong end of the stick. And every so often he'll come out ahead though. But it's a very interesting and fertile type player character for me to play.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, and I hope to see you at the con.